Joining us now, he is from the Arizona Republic, and we love having him on when the Diamondbacks and Giants play, and that is Nick Pecoro. Nick, how are you?
Doing good, Marty. How are you?
Very good. Roof open or closed tonight?
I am guessing open, but I do not know for sure.
Now, are they doing more of that now? Is it open more often because of the new turf and all that?
I don't think it has anything to do with that. I think it's more about the fact that we've had kind of a cooler, you know, May and June than we've had in previous years, kind of similar to what's been in L.A., just a little bit cooler. So they've been taking advantage of it and opening that roof up. Sometimes they've been opening it after four innings or so, depending on the start time, and sometimes it's just been open the whole night.
Wow, interesting. Well, you've seen some hot baseball players this week. One is for the Diamondbacks, Ketel Marte, who was just off the charts, but last night it looked to me like he pulled up with a groin pull, that adductor muscle. What's the latest on him? Because this guy's just had a great week.
Yeah, he's been awesome. He's had a great year, Marty. It doesn't sound like it's all that serious. That's at least what they're hoping. Cassell's out of the lineup today. They're giving him the day off. I think they've been looking to get him a day off for a while anyway. And he seemed pretty optimistic that he'll be able to play tomorrow. Torey Lovello made it sound like he'll be able to play tomorrow. So we'll see if he's back in there. But yeah, I think they might have dodged a bullet. They also might have dodged a bullet. I think it was the day before the Giants got to town, when Nick Ahmed got hit by a pitch on the hand and sounded and looked really bad. But he's back in there and playing well. So yeah, they've dodged a couple bullets on a couple of important everyday players for him.
Well, and you also got to see Charlie Blackmon. How about that?
Yeah. Wow. I mean, both those. Yeah, Charlie Blackmon and Ketel have. I don't know that it gets much hotter than that. And both of those guys are kind of in that zone where, like, when they're up there, there's a pretty good chance they're hitting a ball hard. And then even on the times they're not hitting balls hard, they're finding holes or finding grass in the outfield. You know, Ketel has just been – I can obviously speak more to him. It's been amazing because I think that we've all seen stretches of dominance from him, you know, maybe a few games at a time. And it kind of felt like, you know, maybe those hot streaks would lead him to get into some bad habits. And then he'd cool off for a while, and then he'd kind of slowly work his way back into it. But lately, the hot streaks have been getting longer. The cold stretches have been getting shorter. You know, he's taking, quality at bat after quality at bat. He's taking his walks. He's taking his singles when, you know, he's just kind of punching balls the other way when that pitch to drive isn't necessarily there. It's been quite a transformation. You kind of remind yourself of you know, this is still a guy that's just in his mid-20s and might just be figuring things out. He's been in the big leagues for a long time. He's got his contract extension, so I mean, it's not like he's, you know, new to the scene or anything, but he might just be figuring things out, and maybe we're seeing a star emerging.
Well, it's great to see it. More stars are better in the National League. They've got a lot of them now. The power, though, looks like it's in the American League, and I don't know if you follow the Yankees at all, but Encarnacion is there, Judge is back, Stanton is there, Gary Sanchez is there. I mean, you look at the Bronx Bombers, and, you know, I guess you figure out, how's the game played today? Hit the ball out of the park. How about that?
I covered a game a couple weeks ago, Marty, where we saw 13 home runs
between
the Diamondbacks and the Phillies. So
that's right. What about that? Tell me about that.
I'm not so sure about the direction of things, to be honest. I didn't find that to be a lot of fun to watch. I really didn't. I felt like everyone that was hit that night kind of lessened the value of those that came before it, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
It just feels like everybody's hitting home runs these days, and you know, you've got middle infielders hitting 20, sometimes 30 home runs. It just doesn't feel as special anymore. Obviously, something's going on with the baseball. I don't think there's any question about that. I think that, look, and obviously you got to give a lot of the hitters credit, too, for, you know, learning how to tap into power and, you know, changing their swings and learning to drive the ball better. I don't think that, you know, you don't blame the players, obviously. You do kind of start to wonder if maybe they need to do something to the baseballs to kind of keep the – I don't know. It kind of makes you wonder about the sanctity of records and numbers. And that's kind of a thing that we all love about baseball, right? Is being able to kind of compare across eras, and it sort of feels like we're in a totally different era than we've been in the past.
Well, I think they want to get their own heroes of this era, and they're not concerned about Harmon Killebrew or, you know, people like that, and, you know, people that played in that era. In Bill Madlock, they want their guys now, and I think baseball is trying to do that as best they can. Nick Pecoraro with us, Arizona Republic. Nick, but what about the Diamondbacks? They've lost 5 in a row, what, 6 of 7? What happened? They were in it, and I know season is ups and downs, and you've gone through this with this ball club. Where are they right now?
Well, they stink right now, Marty. They, they're having trouble with their rotation. They've really got maybe two and a half dependable starters. They've got 2 dependable relievers, really. Their lineup is a little inconsistent day to day. I think some guys are banged up. Maybe Peralta might be a little banged up. Obviously, Marte is, and he's out of the lineup, as I mentioned. So, I mean, they're in a rough spot. And I think that what makes it even more troubling is that this is a really big stretch for them. And they just dropped below 500 last night. We've got, 5 weeks before the trade deadline.
Right.
And these guys, I think, need to be a little bit more convinced this year than the last couple of years. Like, I think the last couple of years with Goldschmidt and Pollock and Corbin and those guys on the roster, they just needed any little sort of, sign of life to push in and go for it. And they were, they were a good team the last couple of years. I'm not saying that they made a mistake trying to win with that group. I'm just saying that they didn't need much to be convinced. This year, I think it's different. I think that the front office is going to go about it a lot more conservatively. I think that they need to see that this club, can truly separate itself from that, huge pack of, I don't know if you want to say like 8 teams are in the mix for that wild card, if you're going to count the Mets and the Nationals. I mean, shoot, you know, the Reds aren't far behind either. And look, the Diamondbacks are, like I said, they're a game under 500. Is that like a true contender? I don't know. This stretch was, they even said before this began, this homestand began, that this was going to really inform things leading into the deadline, and it hasn't been pretty so far. They haven't won any of their 4 games here on this homestand. They've got 2 more against the Giants, and the Dodgers come to town.
Wow.
It doesn't get easier. And then they head to, I believe, San Francisco and LA right after that. It's a big time for them. They've kind of failed this test so far. You kind of wonder what's going to happen if this keeps up, like which guys are going to get shipped out of town. And you start looking at it, instead of who are the targets on the trade market, it's who are going to be the guys that other teams are going to be targeting.
Yeah, let me ask you that, because Greinke's name comes up every once in a while. But let's say the Diamondbacks do become sellers. Who do they have that people would want that would be available, in your opinion?
Yeah, I guess assuming they're not going to trade guys with 2+ years of control, like an Eduardo Escobar or Ketel Marte, or Carson Kelly, who's emerged and played really well so far for them behind the plate. The obvious guys would probably be Robbie Ray, David Peralta, mm-hmm. Nick Ahmed, Andrew Chafin in the bullpen has thrown all right. And then, there's some other guys that have struggled, but you could kind of see a team thinking, okay, well, maybe change of scenery for Archie Bradley, or Yoshi Hirano was really good last year. Let's roll the dice on getting him right. Guys like that. It probably starts with Robbie Ray, though, and I think he's an interesting one, because I sort of see him as like a classic modern starter for the postseason, right? I mean, he's a guy that runs high pitch counts and doesn't really go through the order multiple times very well or very often because of his pitch count. But, I mean, I could see a team like Tampa or the Yankees looking at that and being like, oh, I don't care. Let's give this guy the ball in Game 3 in a postseason series and see if we can get, 2 times through the order. If that means we only get 4 dominant innings out of him, then so be it. Or looking at him as a guy that could come out of the bullpen for multiple innings.
Right, good call.
And throw really well.
Yeah, good call. Yeah, I hadn't really thought of Ray in that kind of list. I don't want to put him in the Samardzija class, because he's much better than Samardzija, but Samardzija gives you that 4 or 5 innings, and that's sometimes enough. But you're right. If there are enough teams out there who think they can get close to the wild card, maybe these fringe guys do become interesting for a trade. So we'll see where that goes. Yeah, we'll play that. We're going to see you next weekend as well, so it's going to be interesting. All right, what about Zach Godley? You explained to me what Lavello meant. He wants him to pitch like his pants are on fire. What is that all about?
I don't really know. Torrey didn't really give us a great answer. I think he was just having fun with words. I do think he wants him to be aggressive. I think he wants him to go out there and attack hitters. And I think he wants him to not overthink things is probably what he meant. He's had a lot of issues this season. Most of it is the kind that snowballs, like he'll be rolling right along and then he'll kind of lose command and you'll watch. I mean, keep an eye on it. If you see a couple fastballs start to sail, it's always very interesting. You know, he misses up and away a couple times in a row. It's interesting how he responds. Sometimes he is not able to get back on track and things go sideways like really, really fast, like 3-4 batters in a row, boom, 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 boom. And next thing you know, 3 perfect innings are followed by, you know, 4 runs and 4 batters. So we'll see if that happens. He's had a little bit of mixed results, I guess you could say, since going to the bullpen. More than a month ago, he's bounced back into the rotation from time to time. They're desperate. I mean, they don't have a lot of good options right now in the rotation. They're hoping that they can, you know, get the Zach Godley of old, the Zach Godley who, I remember him shutting down the Giants early last season.
Remember the curveball? Yeah, the curveball.
It was dominant, man. Yeah. It's a pitch that he could live and die on. I mean, he just hasn't been the same guy, though. I don't know if it's a mental toughness type of thing. If he just gets himself into trouble and loses focus, or just lets himself get overcome by negativity. That's kind of what it feels like when you watch him sometimes. But this was a guy that was really, really good in 2017. He was, like you said, that curveball was one of the better pitches, better breaking balls of anybody in the National League. It was right up there with like Corey Kluber, and it was awesome. It was a great breaking ball.
Right, great.
He dominated with it.
Well, I love having you on, Nick. I appreciate the time, and we'll see you. I've got some nice wine for you, of course, from Priest Ranch Wines, and for you and Steve. Excellent. When we see you up here next weekend. So I appreciate the time as always.
Nice. Looking forward to it. Thanks, Marty.
All right. Thank you. That is Nick Pecoro of the Arizona Republic. Boy, a great report on Arizona, huh?